Welcome to the Oster Show of Entrepreneurship and Regional Development Podcast. Each publication in our journal is a great opportunity to share significant and ambitious contributions to a large audience. My guest today is Hélène Picard from Grenoble École de Management in France. She recently published an article entitled Stuck in the Playground, a Failed Organizational Entrepreneuring Process. She co-authored this paper with Pablo Fernandez and Daniel Yard. It has been published in Entrepreneurship and Regional Development, a journal edited by Taylor and Francis. Hélène, welcome to our podcast.
Hello.
Can you tell us what is the origin of your paper? Why have you decided to address this particular topic, and what is the question you aim to answer?
Thank you. Thank you for having me here. I think the best way to tell the story of the paper is that it began with an empirical puzzle. We called it Stuck in the Playground because it's the story of, or it begins with my experience as an independent researcher working in a consulting firm and think tank at the time, which we call InnoLab in the paper, and for which I followed a project. I was in charge of investigating and reporting and helping gathering information and feedback to create or help in the creation of an entrepreneurial space, a space that would be inspired by Fab Lab and co-working spaces, set in a large bureaucratic organization, which we call Matrix in the paper. The space was imagined by its proponents to foster innovation, to stimulate creativity, to create more or invite more collaboration within the organization, and break from established routines, in effect, aiming to transform an office place into something that would become a play space, using playfulness as an engine for creativity. So this project helped me gain access to this place and this project, and to follow the process of stimulating organizational entrepreneurship via the desire to create a space. And this space was called the playground. So this is that story. And also, unfortunately, in a way, it's also the story of how the space failed to materialize and to be enacted by participants. And we, together with Pablo Fernandez and Daniel Yort, we wanted to develop a processual analysis of this experience, because we felt that that data, our data, could help us focus especially on the affective and spatial dimensions of that process, and what ultimately was a failure, insofar as the transformation of that office place into a play space didn't materialize, didn't take off, and that it left participants exhausted and almost depleted. And so we were interested in understanding this process from those different aspects: the entrepreneurial, the spatial, the political, and the affective and sensory perspective.
What are the main contributions of your paper?
I would say that the main contributions, or what we underline, is two main contributions. The first one is underlining the importance of following affective dynamics as they unfold within entrepreneuring processes. So understanding affects as revelatory clues, almost, into the entanglements that make up entrepreneuring processes between people, places, politics, and artifacts or visuals. So we were interested in tracing what affects emerge within the group of participants throughout the process, and showing how these affects vary in intensity depending on the phase of the process. So for example, we distinguish between the phase of seduction, which is all about narrating, suggesting new imaginaries and communicating them. And these are the affects of excitement, the affects of enthusiasm, desire. It's all about leaving the beaten track, all about splitting off from the day-to-day and taking some distance from material constraints as well. And so the space Here in that moment, the space is imagined without specific dimensions or location in mind, or without a procedure about who will participate in that organization. And in contrast, the affect that surface in the play and common sense stage are a lot more of a lower intensity. We call them positioning affects. People are taking position for or against the space. It's about landing back into the organization. And in our case, it meant that the playground was placed within territorial struggles and participants were reminded of highly centralized practices of power within that organization. So affects here denote passive resistance, a kind of apathy, disengagement. And with that affective perspective, we can highlight a politics of positioning within the organization, how that politics of maintaining the status quo leads to the failure of entrepreneuring in that case. So that's the first main contribution, is the importance of following affect dynamics and underlining the value of that understanding to understand what can go right or wrong in an entrepreneurial process. And the second contribution is about the spatial perspective that we bring in the paper. It's about the importance of spacing and of the space-place dynamics. And maybe I will just take a note here, a minute, to explain the distinction that we make between place and space. Well, place is about or is designates a physical location. In our case, it's the office room that is meant to become the collaborative space. The place is defined by its function and its role in the strategic order of the organization, its relationship to status, for instance. You can think about a corner office or boardroom. This is a place. And the space, the notion of space, on the other hand, is understood as a social and relational construction process where interactions change its meaning and thus redefine what it is. So a space is inherently something that is imagined, performed, and actualized in the interactions. And so what we are looking at is the interplay between place and space in the context specifically of a large, mature organization. So this is also a contribution to organizational entrepreneurship studies. We want to specifically contribute to understanding how we can understand spacing in an already organized place. So we, for example, draw on the concept of comfort zones, which help understand the attractiveness for participants of staying in one's place versus the fragility and perhaps the risk that represents starting free movement or trying to create spacing, which needs a lot more legitimation in such an organization where common sense is very established. And there's a need for entrepreneurs to carefully thread with existing politics and materialities. So that's an important, I think, takeaway from the study, is that no space has an inherent capacity to change things in organizations. And there's a lot to understand, or there's a lot of value in understanding the relationship between places and spaces as a highly dynamic one.
What was for you the main theoretical or maybe methodological challenge or challenges in addressing such a question?
I think the methodological challenge and also one of the most stimulating part of the process of writing that paper was writing effectively. So we position our study within the studies of or in affective ethnography methodologically, which means writing and approaching the data with an affective, sensory, embodied perspective. The data set itself is very much a multi-layered one. We use ethnographic notes that I took on the field, interviews that I conducted there, but also a large archive of data produced by the team, so including me, but also the other members, visual materials, photographs, presentations, and all of that material is drawn on for the writing, and the idea is to help with that multi-layered data set and with that effective rating to uncover how contrasting the experiences of the same place, of the same narrative, of the same artifacts can be for participants. So one aspect that our study highlights is also the plurality of space, and I think writing effectively helps in that uncovering the idea that participants experience and feel a space in very different ways, and that creates a gap, particularly in our case, between the InnoLab consultants that see the space as something exciting, stimulating, desirable, and the participants from matrix organizations that are wondering about authorizations, protocols, and how the space is going to clash perhaps with their established understandings and routines. So that's the methodological challenge, but I think also one of the added values of our paper. And theoretically, I would say that a challenge was to find ways to bring together that interest for the dynamic relationships between space and place that I explained previously, and an affective approach, particularly to explore organizational entrepreneurship, to understand the encounter between an organization's common sense, its politics, its ethics, its routines, its norms, and how they are embodied and inscribed in places, and the process of making space through the entrepreneurial initiative. And for that, having the affective perspective to help us tremendously. But theoretically, it was kind of a challenge to make that work together.
During your research journey, what was your biggest surprise or the most counterintuitive result?
One aspect that was quite surprising, and that was, I would say, also a challenge, was to find a way to position our study as a story of failure, which is quite still rare in entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship studies are very much about succeeding, and entrepreneuring is sort of verified by the existence of the entrepreneurial project. So writing about failure was challenging. And what was surprising about it was that we had to tell a story of failure, but also one that would ultimately would not be about a fail better way. So there's also that aspect in entrepreneurial studies of failure that are about, well, they fail, but then that helped them. In our case, it's, to put it in plain words, kind of a bummer, because the failure doesn't become a springboard for something else. It's more about leaving people sort of deflated, defeated by the process. And I think also showing that aspect and finding a way to be true to our experience collectively with the people in the organization, and showing how they were affected and we were affected by the political struggles, the tensions, and how that caused also some erosion within the collective, was important to me. And I was happy to discuss that with them. They read the paper before it went to the journal, and they, well, at least the person that I was speaking to at the time, she told me that she was very touched by the truth, the veracity, let's say, of the narrative, and I think that was important.
What are the main implications of your work for managers, entrepreneurs, practitioners in general?
Thank you for asking that question. I think it's a very good question, especially maybe when it's a theoretically intense paper, which our paper can come across as. I think it for practitioners, there's two takeaways, I would say. The first one is understanding that for creative and collaborative spaces to be practiced, be enacted, be performed within already organized places, and particularly in a large bureaucratic organization, participants need to do political work in a way. It's not only about having a seductive narrative, having a dreamland, and bringing people, attracting them. This will be important, but there's also a very important aspect of translation, translating the idea, the imaginary into something that can enter in dialogue with established norms and routines, what we call common sense in the paper, an organizational common sense. And so understanding that this process of turning a place into an entrepreneurial space needs that translation. I would say, corollary to that something that goes with that would be another message, is the fundamental importance of remaining or becoming mindful of or sensitive to the organizational history, the politics of the organization you're bringing your project, your spacing project to, even in the early seduction phase. So the idea would be to build an entrepreneurial narrative that from the get-go takes into account the process as itself, in itself. So how to get there, and sort of being mindful of that process to avoid the risk of what happened in our case, an abrupt affective clash in the middle stages of the process. And so this is very important also in talking to participants. So in our case, you have the consultants and you have the employees of the organization, and talking to the employees and helping them or co-constructing an understanding of how they can bridge the precarious transition from seduction to play, that moment that needs to be very carefully considered, in order to avoid the tendency to return to the comfort zone, because there's this very strong affective pull of common sense, I think is a very important takeaway for practitioners as well.
Thanks a lot, Hélène, for participating to our show and presenting your paper entitled Stuck in the Playground, a Failed Organizational Entrepreneuring Process. All our podcasts are available on entrepreneurship-erd.com and on the main podcast platforms.
Thank you.